Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Welcome to the show. This is Glenn Greenwich. I'm coming in from New York City. And we have Henrietta Berg. You're live on the air, my dear. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
And we have we already have a caller in with their hand up, so we're gonna get to them in a second. But what we're gonna do right now is read the Declaration of the International Black Summit. Would you like to do that, Henrietta?
Sure. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities, whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as talkability and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation about and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, unity, integrity, responsibility with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies, responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, establishing, nurturing relationships, providing human services, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. October 7, 1991, Atlanta, Georgia. Asbury, New Jersey, October 21st, 2012. Glenn.
New York City.
October 21st, 2012, above, below, north, south, east, west, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Glenn.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Henrietta. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. And we got a goodie for you all out there tonight. I know we've been talking about the election and debate, and we had the second debate, and things seem to turn around. But I'm gonna leave that to y'all to have that discussion, and we're gonna be talking about that. And of course, we have our annual event coming up in August, which is going to be in Ottawa, Canada. So last year we were in Birmingham, Alabama. We went to Bama, y'all. All right. And we are not the same out of going to Bama. And we've got some folks up in Ottawa, Canada, that have been holding it down and doing some great work, and very strong youth summit up there. So it's going to be, I'm looking forward to having a really great event. So we're letting you know all of this so that you can get your information, your travel arrangements, and your hotel arrangements early, because it's going to be a goodie. That's August, the first weekend in August, and our website is www.blacksummit.org. So that's the information I want to leave with you in this moment, and let's start hearing from folks out there. If you're ready to get on the mic, press 1. And we did have a hand up, about the 732-906. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hello, this is Audrey from Black Women for Obama. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to be with you here tonight. I just want to talk about our organization, Black Women for Obama. I'm the state chapter director for the New Jersey chapter. The organization was founded during the first election with a couple of women located out of Atlanta, Georgia. And right now we have about 25 chapters around the nation, from New York, New Jersey, down to Atlanta and across to Oregon, Washington, and California. We are a grassroots organization, and we're dedicated to reelecting the president. It was founded by Patricia Wilson Smith, the founder and our executive director. So I started the New Jersey chapter, I guess, around April of this year, and we're up to about 300 women here in the state of New Jersey. Yes, it's going very well. It's a very fast-paced organization. It's a virtual organization. Every Tuesday we meet online, with women from across the country, and we have strategy meetings. So, like I said, there's 300 women in New Jersey. Some of the events that we've been doing, we had a prayer breakfast in September. We've done voter registration training. We've had a boat ride in honor of the president and the first lady. We also do voter registration at various places. Like, we had somebody do voter registration at ShopRite. We've gone to the park. One lady goes to her place of business, which is a hospital, and gives out voter registration forms to everyone. We also do media checks. We check the media. What we've been noticing is that in some instances, Mitt Romney has been given first choice, first preference over the president, and that's been a question. Why is that so? Because B, Barack, comes before M for Mitt. The president, of course, always comes first, and Obama, O, comes before R. So we put that in check to make sure that there's no preferences given in the print media or in the news television media. So we check that out. We had a town hall meeting in Trent, New Jersey, last Sunday, and it was a nice turnout. We wanted to get some energy going. We wanted to get people ignited. We wanted to discuss some of the issues in the community as well as in the campaign. So we had a chance to do that in Trenton. So that was great. We got the ball started. Out of that meeting came a phone banking event. That's one of our main events that we do for the campaign is phone banking. Now, what you're going to see what we've been seeing here is we work with Obama for America, the official Obama campaign organization, and they work through all the states, but we work in conjunction with them. What you're going to see in New Jersey may be a little strange. New Jersey is a blue state. That means we are solidly Democratic. Some people call us Blue Jersey, and he's ahead in the polls here. Yeah. So what you'll see in New York and New Jersey is the Obama campaign will take all of their volunteer resources, and instead of recruiting heavily in their own native state, they'll take all the resources and throw it to Pennsylvania, our next-door neighbor. Why? Because Pennsylvania is a swing state. They've got 20 electoral votes, which is huge. What they say is that if he doesn't win Pennsylvania, he doesn't win the election. So all of this campaigning, this phone banking that we do, when we dial here in Metuchen, in North Jersey, South Jersey, Central Jersey, it all goes to Pennsylvania. We must win that state. It's about almost as crucial as Florida and Ohio. So that's what you'll see here. That's why we had a bus ride to Pennsylvania, to Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's almost an hour and a half from where we are in the center of the state. We had a ball in doing so, but we learned so much. We learned that even though in the midst of the frustration of getting a lot of rejection and a lot of no's and who are you and why are you bothering me with voter registration, that sometimes after a conversation, when people know more, they do more. Sometimes you are able to persuade people. So that's basically what we do. We've had phone banking. That's been one of our standard campaign events. We do phone banking on Thursday nights, every Thursday at the Wanda Best Healthcare from 6 to 9. We started a nice, really nice phone bank session at the Shiloh Baptist Church in Newark. This week we're going to have our first phone banking in Trenton at the Samaritan Baptist Church. That'll be Thursday, October 25th. So that's basically what we do. I don't know if people know Jerry Green out of Plainfield. Assemblyman named Jerry Green has opened an office up, and he's dedicated that particular office to the Obama campaign. So I'm hoping that people will understand a little bit more about the challenge. The challenge for the Obama campaign is money, funding. We don't have the type of money that the Romney campaign has been drawing. He's been outspending us by like 2-3 to 4-1. We don't have money in this campaign, but what we do have is you, the volunteers, to go out, knock on doors, creating that conversation, picking up the phone, and making those dials, and trying to get the enthusiasm, getting people to register to vote, and getting people to come out for the vote. That's going to be what we do.
Excellent. What's your first name?
My name is Audrey.
Audrey. Thank you, Audrey. Thank you for sharing that. How do you see the upcoming last debate and the whole debate process? What has been your take on that?
Well, I think the debate has been pivotal. We have seen presidents win and lose the debate. Nobody ever thought, the pundits didn't think that a debate could actually make a difference, but it did. It made all the difference in the world. It was a pivotal moment for the president, and not being able to come out the way that we saw him come out in the past. The last debate, of course, he came out strong. Is it enough to change things? I hope so. I think that it was able to change the momentum of the downward trend. And I think he needs to keep that same strong debate process in going forward. He has to stay strong not only in the night of the debate, but he also has to stay strong following the days following the debate, to do the spinning, to make sure that people understand that he was strong, to make sure that people know that he had all his facts together, to do a fact check on Mitt Romney. That's what he needs to do from now to the end of the election. With this campaign, I'm seeing is that style matters. Style really matters, so he's got to stay strong.
Interesting. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live over the Internet every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. If you'd like to get in on a piece of this conversation, press 1 and we'll recognize you and open up your mic. Audrey, one of the things that certainly came up, I see you 301, I'll get to you in a second. One of the things that came up was the conversation around women and women being compensated. And I thought Mr. Romney just completely danced around that issue. I didn't get that he even answered the question, whereas Obama actually looked at and talked about some of the economic ramifications for that. Given the pivotal states and the women in those pivotal states especially who are undecided, do you think that made a big difference?
Well, I hope that it does, because this has a real impact on the status of where we are, the rights that women have, the freedoms that we have, and the economic impact. What people are saying is some people, the women now, are wavering, so I hope that it did make a difference for women in the audience.
Absolutely. Hold on a second. I have another caller that would like to come on a call. 301-792, go ahead. You're live on the air. 301-792, go ahead. You're live. We can't hear you. Are you on mute? One more time, 301-792.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can hear you now. Yes, we can hear you
okay,
now.
Okay, great. My name is Insafiri Jordan. I'm with Black Women for Obama. And to respond
okay.
to the question about the debate with President Obama and Romney on the women's issue, I think women have pretty much looked at both sides and really understand the issues that we will be dealing with. Although the first debate with our president was looking weak, I think the elements that he was dealing with that particular night had a grand effect on the whole presentation. Number one, the issue is the Romney campaign chose a particular date of our president's wedding anniversary. It also showed that the undermining of that, along with the commentator who was really not in control of the debate, had another effect on his performance, which looked pretty much more agitated on our president's presentation than any other time that he has come before the country to speak. Those elements will affect the appearance of his presentation and also an impression on his leadership. I think what we need to really pay attention to is the previous track record that he has led us in and from where he started to where we are now. Changing in the middle of tide means that we go further back, not only for the cultural aspects of the United States, but for the economy. You know, it's like putting the whole nation over or in a black plague. To constantly start over means you're not moving forward and you have no direction. There is no leadership.
I hear you. I hear you, Mrs. Jordan. I hear you. I want to, before I go on, I want to call the brothers out on this one. Is there a Black Men for Obama?
No, I would have to say no, there is not. But we have some very strong supporters, very strong male supporters. We have Tony Smith out of Roselle. He's been really helpful. Garrett Smith out of Roselle. They've been also very helpful. Also, Sam Bishop. I've got some really strong, consistent supporters who are men. So, yes, I do have to give men their props.
Okay.
And we invite more. We invite more because there's so much work to be done. Yes, women started it. Yes, women, we have heels on the ground and we can do it our way. But men also are great supporters as well.
Well, I think that one of the things that I think we'll both agree on, but I'll speak for myself, is that men have to be part of this conversation in terms of sharing the burden and certainly stepping up. Because I think that not only the national politics, but the local politics have to be understood, and the issues have to be raised. Because we, you know, yes, we're electing a president, but as you know, it's very important who we elect locally as well. So our state representatives, our city representatives. I'm here in New York City, and you know, I see some of the games being played in the state senate and the state assembly, and it's important that we look in all of those areas.
One other thing too, let me say,
go ahead,
this,
please.
Is there's 28 congressional seats open in this presidential election. And that's something that we really have to be mindful. And it's a settled issue of the 28 seats. And within those 28 seats, I believe there's like between 24 and 26 seats are Democratic seats. So if those seats are filled by the Democrats, that will make it a lot more easier for our president to pass some of the issues that have been at hand and to veto those issues from the last presidential election. One of the issues that President Obama spoke in reference to in the first debate was the health care issues that the Clinton administration had put in, that was trying to put into act, that the Bush administration kind of squashed it out, so to speak, in layman's terms. Issues from President Bush's administration definitely needs to be weaned out so that one administration can successfully complete issues that are for the people of this country. At this juncture of this country's politics, it's in my opinion, that you cannot continue to start over and over. You're not doing anything. You're not serving the people. You're not leading the people, and it makes your nation weaker. If you don't have a strong people, you don't have a strong nation. So the 28 congressional seats are very vital, and as you speak of, the local issues are very advantageous to us now. We need to be mindful what some of the issues are in our municipalities as well as the state level. Paul Rodney was speaking in terms of the educational in his debate. It should be handled by the state, local states. If that is instituted, then we will have a strong problem with our public schools versus our private elite school versus our charter schools. Therefore, in my opinion, where will our young people lead us?
Okay, wonderful.
You know, that was an interesting point that you just brought up, because, you know, again, part of this radio show has me doing different kinds of research. And I didn't realize that charter schools were originally set up so that the white kids didn't have to integrate back in the days of integration. And now we see that the charter schools are bumping up against the public school systems and taking away funds that would normally go to the public school to make the public schools better. And I don't know about in your community, but I know here in New York City, you've now pitted parents against each other because one wants the public schools to be reinstated. And, you know, you may or may not know, but in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg has been closing schools like he's turning off a faucet. On the other hand, he's got these charter schools who he's funneling, because in New York City, the charter schools are part of the public school system, which is don't ask me how he was able to do that, but that's another conversation for another day. But basically, you've now got this infighting because parents are trying to get the kids into the charter schools, and if they're not able to, then they've got the public schools, but the public school money going to the charter schools, and it's back and forth. And the bottom line is that we've got kids that are not getting the education that they need.
Absolutely. The other part of the charter school is that in some states on the East Coast, parents are paying double taxes. They're paying the state taxes for public school, and they're also paying taxes for the charter school. So that does not necessitate the fact that the quality of education is not being presented nor carried out. Of course, we all remember No Child Left Behind, which was presented by the Bush administration. Being one who had worked in the educational system did not calibrate with me, because no child could ever be left behind if the parent is not left behind. In many cases, the parent was left behind because they couldn't keep up and teach their children the new curriculum. So you're not leaving the child behind. You're leaving the parent out. Therefore, the child cannot move ahead, and the child is still further behind in educational-wise. So with that in mind, and that is kind of like a local issue, and to some degree, but it's a national issue. And then we look at the foreign, well, immigrants who come into our country who are so far advanced in the mathematics, in the sciences, okay? Because our children across the, well, I'm going to speak on the East Coast, some of our states in our schools are not having any arts. They're not having music. They barely have gym. They're not having any sciences where it's invocative. So it's an issue that we need to stay really mindful on.
That's very good. Now, can I just want to talk about two or three facts about the campaign? And then
yes.
I want to give some resources and some deadlines so people will come away with some, have some comeaways with the information. Now, one of the things about, first I want to talk about a couple of facts, if you don't mind. And I want to talk about Romney's Massachusetts job record, where he came in 47th out of 50 in job creation. Romney economics didn't work then, and it won't work now or in the future. Okay, since Obama took office, the annual federal spending has come down consistently. We know that, you know, the unemployment rates have dropped. We know that GM, the auto industry, is alive. We know Osama bin Laden is dead. For those of you that live in or around New York City, you know how important that is, because now we can walk around in freedom. I was there on 9/11, so I know I can really appreciate what it's like to have that happen, to have more freedom. So it's very important. The most important thing right now until November 6th is to get the president reelected. And then we're going to look at our third stated goal. Our third stated goal of Black Women for Obama would be to support the election of candidates who are committed to tackling the challenges facing Black women and African Americans in general. So I'd like to talk to you about, there's one deadline coming up, at least in New Jersey. It's vote by mail. It's October 31st. Make sure you have your if you're voting by mail, have a deadline. Then also I want, for people that are also interested in being a poll worker, in New Jersey, I have a phone number where they can call and get information. It's $200 a day in New Jersey. So you may want to call 732-745-8347, and that's Rita Gallagher. She will tell you where to go in your county to actually do the application. That's 732-745-8347. I wanted to talk about some resources and two upcoming events. The resources will be, if you're not sure of your voter registration status, you may want to do some, you know, take a look at it. It's canivote.com. If you're interested in canivote.com, and you put your name and whatever information that you're looking for, and it will tell you right then. The name, it's the website for our organization, the national organization, is blackwomenforobama.org. If you'd like to hit us up on Facebook, there's at least two Facebook pages. That will be for us, Black Women for Obama, NJ, that's for the New Jersey chapter. And you can also, they have the same equivalent for the national. You can like there or join us and tell us about your event. I'd also like to tell you about BarackObama.com. If you're interested in doing campaigning, if interested, you can join up with their campaign or you can come and do some things with us. It's BarackObama.com. There you can find events in your neighborhood by zip code. Yeah, any watch parties coming up, any phone banking coming up, bus rides. There's lots of bus rides going all over Pennsylvania. Then I want to tell you about a book created by our founder, who is Patricia Wilson Smith. It's called Believing in Obama. You can buy it on Amazon there. And there's two more things. In New Jersey, in Elizabeth, on the eve of the election, we will have an election night prayer service for Obama. That's going to be at the AME Church on Madison Avenue. Yes, we've done a lot of phone banking. We've knocked on doors. You know, we've done this, that, and the other, but we do need prayer. I came across some interesting information that before the debate, Romney sends an email to his peers at the Mormon Church asking for a night or a day of fasting and prayer before the debates, and guess what happened? That's what happened. So that's why prayer is always important in our community. And the final thing is there will actually be a watch party on November 6th in Elizabeth. There will be food and drinks there. Everybody is invited. Final details will be available soon. And like I said, GM is alive. Osama bin Laden is not, and we should move forward. Thank you, everybody, for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. And I'm opening it up to the ladies that I have on the line from Black Women for Obama, but as well as our other listeners. What do you think are the top items for this election? Is it education? Is it the economy and jobs? Is it, you know, I want to hear from you all out there. So what do you think are the top issues in priority order? If you'd like to get in on this conversation, press 1, and we'll recognize you.
Well, I would have to recognize you guys.
Audrey,
I do phone banking on Thursday nights to Pennsylvania every Thursday night at the Wanda Best Healthcare over there in Elizabeth. We call Pennsylvania, and when we call and we ask them who they're voting for and what issues are important for them, and I have to say it is always the economy. It is always the economy. They may also talk about taxes. They may talk about jobs, but it is, all comes down to the economy. That's the most important thing. Jobs and the economy.
I've also found that for the seniors is the Medicare, the health issues. During my talks, my phone bank nights, I usually run across one or three people who are in the midst of a health crisis. My last person I talked to, who was a Obama supporter, just had eye surgery, and she felt that all of the issues that were at hand were vitally important because without the health, you know, she couldn't restore going back to work or support herself or her family. So the health benefit I'm finding to be very important too, along with the seniors' disabilities.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. And I want to just thank you for the work that you're doing because it's important work, getting people registered, whoever they vote for. You know, this is America, and one of our privileges that our veterans and our armed forces sacrifice themselves for is a right to vote. And in this day and age, I think it's an important opportunity. And, you know, people have died, civilians as well as armed services, to preserve the right and have the right so that we can vote. And it's a shame for us not to exercise that civic duty. Very good. So again, thank you for what you've been doing and what you've been up to. It's important work, and it's just really, the bottom line is just very important work.
Can I get Audrey to reiterate the phone number to call Rita Galloway and the website and the prayer? Can you reiterate those upcoming things one more time for
poll workers? Poll workers can call Rita Galloway at 732-745-8347, 732-745-8347 to be a poll worker at $200 a day. And also it's good to participate in the civic and political process. CanIVote.com is important for if you're doing any getting out the vote, people aren't sure, you can tell them affirmatively what their status is. There will be an Election Eve prayer service. You can check our website. You can check us on Facebook for more details. It's at the AME Church at 160 Madison Avenue, Elizabeth. And the watch party is November 6th at the VFW W. Hall and Elizabeth. Like I said, details, you can check our website or our Facebook page.
Very good. Before you go, let folks know about the people who have been incarcerated and that if they're out of parole, they can actually vote.
That's a real, that's a very good question, because actually that was a that particular point actually gave us a lot of momentum in voter registration. If you are no longer incarcerated, or if you are no longer actively on parole, you are eligible to vote in the state of New Jersey. So that's very important.
And the state of New York. And the state
oh,
of New
and
York.
The state of New York too.
New York and New Jersey. That is
definitely. When you guys mentioned it to Henrietta, I looked it up on New York, and that's true for New York as well. So I don't know how many other states, but I did not even was not even aware of that information until you guys mentioned it to Henrietta at the at one of the functions.
Yeah, that's very important. As a matter of fact, we have at least two of our members. One person is down there in the Monmouth area. She's a nurse, and she found out when she with her voter registration, we started asking questions. You know, not only did you change your address, or you're not registered to vote, but are you, you know, are you no longer actively incarcerated? People started signing up. Oh, I have a nephew. Or same thing with another woman. She's a retired. I guess parole officer. She started signing people up. So people are now going to be, more people will be engaged in the voting process as a result of this change.
Excellent.
Also,
good.
I would like to iterate, too, any high school senior that is turning 18 by November should be registered to vote. And please have them to double-check that they have their registration, their voter registration card in hand, or that it should be mailed to them before the month is concluded.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Just want to let the folks in the chat room know we've got some open lines if you're interested. So you want to call in. The number is 646-716-9827. Call in, press 1 if you'd like to get on the air, and we'll open up your mic and engage in this conversation. We're looking at the – we're talking a little bit about the campaign in general, but we've been talking specifically about Black Women for Obama and the work that they're doing, specifically the New Jersey chapter and all of their activities. Just wanted to find out anyone on the line like to speak or talk to any specifics about the upcoming debate. Now, the next debate on Monday is going to be about foreign affairs. Any idea how that's going to go? Give us a call in, press 1, and bring you live on the air. While they're doing that. Audrey and Ms. Jordan, anything you'd like to say about that?
No, I think that on the issue of foreign policy, when he was, there were, Romney was at this point where Romney was trying to back Obama to a corner, and that was one of, that had a real glimmering moment when he stood up. President Obama said, "I am the president," and he really sounded very presidential. That was one of his stronger points in the campaign, and I think that he used to build needs to build on that momentum about foreign policy. He does have a pretty strong record on foreign policy, although that's being challenged, and people would like to say otherwise. But this is where Romney is also going to have to step up and say that he knows something. And I hope that, you know, one of the things I hope that President Obama continues to do is to show his strengths, to discuss his strengths, and I don't know if we've heard enough of that. And he also needs to discuss the weaknesses. We need to hear about the 47%. I would like to hear more about the Mormon religion and what his role was when Black people were not permitted. I'd like to know what Romney's role was at Bain Capital when he was an executive. How many people from our community were affected by the outsourcing at Bain? How many of our people were hired at Bain? You know,
right. And that was a great part of the debate, which he says when there wasn't enough women or minority gender in his party of that they went out and they hired some women because they hadn't solicited any women. How many were African American women? How many were Asian? How many were Hispanic? You know, he never specifically said what their duties were. You know, the foreign policy that he so eloquently talks down to our president about is something that I noticed that Paul Ryan and Vice President O'Biden talked about an issue regarding Assyria, you know, and going into war and going into helping them, which Vice President O'Biden spoke very candid about. We are not entering another war. We're only assisting the people to become equipped to defend themselves. And Paul Ryan says, well, you mean we don't need to send any U.S. troops in? We don't need to send any more? And President Biden firmly said, no, we do not. We are there to assist so that they can protect themselves, which is the American policy, foreign policy. We're supposed to assist, not take over the wars that we have presently taken over, because this Afghanistan war is not our war. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a little Mormon story, but I'm not going to go there. My father, bless his soul, he had some Mormons either come to the phone or call up on the phone, and he says when you get a black a black leader in that group, an elder, he said, when you get a black elder, then you can come back and talk to me. Otherwise, you got nothing to say.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, good. So this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We've got a call out there, 301-278. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi, my name is Annette, and I'm out of Maryland. And in regards to the discussion regarding international or foreign affairs, one thing that I really hope comes out in the discussion on Monday is Mr. Romney's views on China and specifically sending jobs overseas. As we speak today, right in Illinois, Bain Company, which he is still a part of, is shipping 200 jobs overseas to China. They have been on the air debating this fact, and Mr. Romney has, put, as usual, put his head in the sand and said that he is going to get tough on China. You cannot possibly get tough on China when you're expecting a $3 million or $4 million paycheck.
That makes sense to me.
And that was just my thought. That is something that I really hope comes out. I know that the focus will be on Libya and Iran, but I think that what happened in Benghazi was a smokescreen. I think that there were some operatives who may have been on the Republican side who wanted to put that out there, and I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories coming out there, but if you follow what has been going on around in the Mideast, it just doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden this very popular consulate was assassinated. Just my thoughts.
Great, great. Thank you. I'm going to go out on a limb, and let me preface this statement by saying that I'm not speaking for the International Black Summit. I'm speaking for Glenn Greenwich only, and I worry a lot about that tape that the Muslim community has been up in arms about. And, I even hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. I wouldn't be surprised if the Republican Party put that out to stir up trouble in the Middle East. Now, you know, that being said,
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you, Glenn. I just want to go back to that 47% comment or that video that Mr. Romney was caught on saying. And in that video, he specifically stated that he was waiting for an international incident so that he could politicize it. So when you think about what he said in that video, and all of a sudden we have this international incident, you can't help but wonder what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, two and two always equals four. You put the dots in there. What do they say? You track the money. But again, you know, it's awful surprising that you know, months before this tape shows up with this information and the conversation, and then all of a sudden, all hell seems to have broken out in the Middle East. And the friendlies, you know, Egypt, Libya, Syria, you know, Yemen, you know, of course, Afghanistan and some of the others that are hotbeds for the American conversation. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting to see and notice all of a sudden that this and the thing that I did, I actually went and looked at the video, and the video is horrible. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not an expert on Muhammad, but I just look at it. If Jesus has said some of the things that Muhammad has said on this film, I'd have been upset. Okay, so this movie was made a long time ago, and the thing that's interesting for me is that all of a sudden it showed up on the media in the Muslim communities abroad. So somebody had to tip them off and tell them and say, you know, hey, have you seen this or whatever? And it was through that media exposure that got it seen, because it had been on YouTube for quite a bit longer, you know, before that time. So, anyway, interesting things. Interesting conversations are being had. We've got a caller, Mr. Nunu, 504-309. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Well, I've been watching and listening and praying, because if something don't break for the better of this nation, we are all going to be up the creek without the paddle, so to say. So I'm just watching and waiting. That's all I'm saying, Glenn.
Okay. Well, thank you. We've got about 10 minutes left. Anybody, any other issues that you guys would like to bring up or that we as a community need to be looking out for in this upcoming debate and or between now and the election time? Anything that you guys see that we need to be wary of?
I would say, this is Audrey speaking again, I would say I'd like to encourage everybody to participate. It's our election, it's our voices. We should participate in our own process. I also would encourage people to look to their local officials. Find out what their participation is. Are they participating in the presidential campaign? Is your local Democratic organization participating in the Democratic campaign? If not, why not? What are their priorities? Their priorities should be your priorities. So that's one thing I'd like to see more, is more participation. Because there's been so much apathy. There's been so much people are just saying, you know, they are going to vote for him. Some people say they may or may not go to the polls. One of the biggest challenges now is not just registering people to vote, but it's getting people to the polls. People think that he's automatically going to get in. We don't know if that's the case. A lot of that is pending on our ability to just go up to the polls. It's a very close race, no matter how you look at it, the popular vote versus the electoral vote. It's a razor thin lead, and we really have to make sure that we get ourselves to the polls and hopefully participate, make the phone calls. I don't know what kind of shape we're going to be in. I shouldn't even think about if he doesn't make the election. But you know, there's a lot at stake in this particular election campaign.
Would you say that we have even more at stake than the first?
Possibly, because what they're seeing is that the black vote is so important in terms of numbers. When we come together in numbers, that we're so powerful. And people, the pundits would say, if we don't have the black vote, we can't win. But now, if they win without the black vote, then there might be a different ball game. There might be a game changer. So they may not have to consider us an election. We're stronger united than if we're not united.
Absolutely. Thank you. We've got some open mics. Anybody else? We've got about 5 minutes left. Any closing thoughts, comments?
Glenn?
Yes.
Hi. This is Henrietta. And in the state of Illinois, they have extended voter registration. And the thing is that when you go to register, you have to be prepared to vote at the same time. So it's early voting, but they allow you to register also. So for people listening in the state of Illinois, you can still bring your 18-year-olds and your seniors and whoever it is that you find that has not registered, but they must have the proper credentials with them so that they can vote at the, you know, immediately after they register. So I just wanted, you know, I wanted to say that and to say thank you for our guests this evening and everyone who shared, and also to keep your mind on what you want, more so than you don't want. Don't move through fear. Move through confidence, knowing that your choice is that you just is the right choice. Just focus on that. Don't put any of your energy or your power to what you don't want and to what might happen if. Just stay focused and keep affirming what you want and who you know to be the best candidate. And don't waste your energy on any conversation, anything unlike what you want. Take your people to vote. Do everything that we've heard tonight. Yeah, take people, go get the seniors, make sure they vote, make sure they're registered in the areas where you can still register. But don't waste your conversation on the person that you don't want. That's energy that you could be sending to the candidate that you do want. And those are my closing remarks.
That's great. Thank you. That is spot on, as they say. I want to say it slightly differently, but the same conversation. Keep your eye on your vision. You have a vision for your community, and you are clear what you want that community look like, and vote inside of that vision that you see for yourself. So somebody else that wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Yes, my closing. This is Esther Perry speaking again. My closing remarks would be is to stay focused and also assist other people who need to get to the voting poll by any means possible. If you have a car and you know someone else has a car, carpool people to the voting polls, and also to assist where needed during this time, November 7th, that we will be voting on. Also, the phone banks. We need lots of people to come out and to work in the phone banks also. As Audrey said, there's plenty of work to be done out in the community, and if everyone participates, do some part, we'll have the massive job completed.
Very good, very good. So what we came up tonight with were the heavy hit issues are jobs, healthcare, education. So those are the things for us to be listening to, listening through this debate. This debate is going to be on foreign policy. But somehow I suspect that it's going to be more than just foreign policy, because that's not necessarily Mr. Romney's strong point. And, you know, as both Audrey and Ms. Jordan said earlier, that the debates have been very pivotal in terms of creating momentum. So we have an opportunity to watch them, to inform ourselves, so that we, when we press that button or write in or get the scan, because they've got new procedures all over the place, we do what we need to do. We know the right information. And that's and that's the other thing I just want to speak to real quickly. Make sure that you understand the voting process, because it's changed for a lot of people in a lot of places. We used to have a pull the cord and click down. Now we've gone to a paper. Make sure that you understand the process, and make sure that you work with people, especially the elderly and the young, who may not be familiar with that process. So make sure that you know the process. Make sure that the people, your neighbors around you, understand and know what's going to be expected of them in the voting process. Okay?
Glenn?
Yes.
The other thing is if you are willing to assist others, you vote early. Make sure you vote before November 6th so that you do the early voting. That way you don't have to think about getting to the polls to vote that day. You can just think about getting others to the poll. So take advantage of the early voting day.
Very good, very good. We actually don't have that in New York City.
Really?
I don't know about New York State, but that is nice. That's a nice process.
One of the things you may want to be concerned with or aware of, or what are your requirements to bring? What is the paperwork that's required on voting day in New Jersey? I'm sure the same way in New York. If you are, you don't have to bring anything to the polls with you unless you're a first-time voter. Then you're going to have to bring a photo ID, maybe a utility bill. But if you voted in the last election, you don't have to bring anything. So that's very important, because the rest of the nation, they're undergoing voter suppression. In many states, like Pennsylvania, where it was challenged, I think they were trying to reverse it. But that's one of the key issues. So know that you don't have to bring anything in the state of New Jersey. We hope to keep it that way.
Well, let me add this, and then we've got to go. Make sure that your polling place hasn't changed.
Right.
I've been in the same place for the last, since I was able to vote. It has now changed. I have to go to another district. I live in Jamaica, Queens. I have to go to Richmond Hill to vote. Crazy.
Which is extremely important, too, Glenn.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So with that, I thank you for the show.
Glenn, let me also say one other thing, too. For those who are campaigning and pushing very strategic for this voting to be very positive, you could always call the election board and have someone come out to a central location to show people how to use the new polling system. I did that in my community, and it was a great success. So that's
okay.
Another venue that we can use.
Absolutely. We're out of time, folks. Love you. Good night. Thank you for our black women, for Obama, really making a difference out there. We honor you and cherish you, cherish the work that you're doing. And we are only as good as our vote. So if we don't vote, we don't get to complain about consequences. Good night. God bless. We love you. International Black Summit.
Thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.